it's a really beautiful and great place when you can just be yourself. And for me, what that means for me is that I can be a little silly. I can crack an appropriate joke, right? I can laugh, and one of the things that's part of me is how I interrelate with my team and support them, resolve conflict. And I learned over time that some of the things that I really enjoy doing that are really true to my nature, you can easily pull that into your any job role, right? And be you in that role, even if it's not the right job. Like, you know, not everybody's in the right job. They need to go find another job eventually that fits them better, but you can still be you in that. And, you know, so if you are really creative, but you feel like you're not in a creative job, well, I bet you there's ways for you to be more creative.
Have you ever been drained after an argument? Did you notice really annoying conflicts tend to repeat in your life? Most people find it difficult to deal with stress, with undesired emotions and regretful reactions. Hi, my name is Christian Mulovan, happy husband, entrepreneur and empathy coach. Welcome to the Anatomy of Conflict show. Join me on this journey, learning by dissecting conflicts, putting them through the microscope and explore better ways to navigate under pressure. Thank you for spending time with me today.
Hello and welcome back. If decision-making for the regular day-to-day things like picking your outfit is giving you a hard time, what do you do when you're faced with bigger decisions? In this episode, we explore the inner stars that are not currently aligned. Sometimes the simple challenges of the day can be really frustrating. Is it because planets did not align? Or is it because sometimes choosing the right colors for your outfit is more difficult? Or could it be due to some deeper struggles that can act like a magnifying glass so the little challenges just look really big and scary? Today we're going to address this problem with the help of Jen Vax. Jen Vax is an Amazon best-selling author, speaker, and entrepreneur. She's passionate about helping women discover and express who they truly are. She's the founder of Your Color Style, where she helps women discover their best colors that they have the confidence and courage to express their authenticity. Her debut book, That's My Color, Discover Your 5 Signature Colors to Transform Your Life, is an instant Amazon number one bestseller. She covers topics on color analysis, authenticity, and confidence at yourcolorstyle.com. She is the go-to expert in confidence and authenticity. Jen's expertise has been featured on Good Morning Washington, Good Day Pennsylvania, Inc.com, She Knows, and Thrive Global. We will talk about life, struggles, insecurities, and color. Every time you hear a color in this episode, think of a quality you hesitate to show the world. Just like those killer outfits you never dare to wear. Let's explore those insecurities and struggles so you can finally be free of them with Jen Vax.
Hi, Jen. Welcome to the Anatomy of Conflict podcast. I'm extremely excited to have you on board and introduce you to my audience and pick your brain and your heart so people could get something out of this to make their lives slightly better. Welcome.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here. Thanks for asking me.
It's amazing. So I want everybody to be able to know you a bit. So I'm going to ask you this question, and it's up to you how deep you want to go on it. But just give a gist of who you are to people. So what did it take for you to become the woman you are today and the businesswoman you are today and the artist you are today?
Okay, so that's a big question. So, and I know you know my story a little bit, which is why you said it that way. So right now, and currently in my life, I can truly say from my heart that I have a really beautiful life and a good life, a joyful life. I have a husband that I married 3 years ago now, is our second time around, and Joe's amazing, and we have a really healthy really positive relationship and my kids are doing great. I have my business that centers around my core values and is successful, and I get to help women every single day, you know, feel better about themselves and find colors that work for them. And so everything really truly is just, sometimes I have to kind of pinch myself that this is my life. I get to do all the things that I love to do. But it was a journey to get here. And for me, that journey began about 7-8 years ago. And I point out to that time frame because that's really when I hit my personal low. It's when I hit that wall of something needs to change. And it was a time where I had just moved out of my house. This is when I was getting separated and divorced. And I'm in my townhouse for the first time in a really long time alone. The Matthew and Mindy, who are my two kids, were over at their dad's, which is a strange thing at the time. And I remember just feeling really low, lower than I've ever felt. And I'm going to describe it because there's a few events that happened before that moment that really just kind of came piling in at once. About, gosh, you know, it's the time kind of flies. So I actually don't have the math in front of me, but I'm going to say about 6-8 years before that time, I actually had a third child. Her name was Kelly. And the five of us had moved from Virginia to Texas and for my husband's job at the time. And she had been complaining of pain in her leg. And she was only six. Actually, she just turned 7. We actually moved on her birthday. And very quickly after that, she was diagnosed with cancer. She had what was called osteosarcoma. It's a bone cancer. Some people are curious what that means. She had a tumor in her left leg, her left thigh leg or bone, whatever. And, you know, I don't think I'm unique in reacting as, okay, my child's sick. We got to fix it. Right. And so everything centered around Kelly at that point, you know, and really just around making sure everyone else was okay as well. So I went nonstop. I went into this mode of really just staying busy and making sure that everyone else was okay. So, you know, hospital stays and making sure Kelly has her medicine and is she comfortable? And then when we were home, making sure Matt and Mindy were okay, because they were very little, they were like 5 and 3 at the time. And then when they're okay, making sure that my husband's able to go to work and be productive and that the house is taken care of. And it was go, 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 go. And I do look back on that time now, realizing that there was a little bit of me distancing myself from the real pain of the reality that my daughter is really, really sick. So jump forward just really just 2 years later, that cancer became extremely aggressive and we lost that battle. And she died just after her 9th birthday and right before my Matthew's birthday. So it was a very strange week of death and birthday. And you can imagine at that point, there was just this kind of gaping hole. And instead of really, I think I look back on it now with a much clearer head that I to just pause and be with it and to heal, I moved faster and to fill the void. Now, you may not even actually know this about me, but I actually also had a business at that time. I didn't even think to mention that because that's just who I was then. And so it was just me doing everything all the time, trying to patch the holes and make everybody feel better. And the reality is that I wasn't really fueling the tank. And it got to a point where I kind of really completely burned out personally. I sold my business and our marriage was struggling. And we got to the point where that very fragile bond also was broken. So now we are at where I started the story, where I am in my townhouse. And, you know, it had been a couple years since she had passed away, but it was kind of like at that moment, there was nobody else around. There was no TV, by the way. My cable wasn't hooked up yet. So I had nothing. And this is still years before we had like Netflix and stuff, right? So it was literally me, myself, and I in this quiet townhouse. And it was probably the first time in years that I finally stood still and actually had to deal with all the things that I had been dealing with, and then just came flooding in. It just came pounding in. And I had this extremely overwhelming sense of loss. It was loss of Kelly. It was loss of my marriage, and a lot of guilt in there just from failure to not make that work, you know, and really loss of self. I just felt blank. Like, I didn't know who I was. I didn't know what I like to do. I have been moving in at high speed and doing everything for everyone else that I just completely lost who I was. And I am not one to sit around and go say, oh no, I don't know what to do. I'm definitely a personality that takes action. So I joined a life coaching program, and I started to really kind of go on this journey of self-discovery of who am I? What do I like to do? And, you know, there was all kinds of fun exercises, right? About learning your core values and learning who you are, what you like to do. And through that process, there was a bit about your image, right? And improving your self-image. Because at that point, I did not like myself. I didn't like the way I looked. I had put on weight. My closet was probably full of like very beige and boring clothes. And so one of the things what they said, well, you can improve your image, your physical image. And then when you look in yourself in the mirror, and if you like what you see, it can help boost your confidence. It can help boost your self-image and just kind of move you a little bit forward. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, I can do that. And so that this is where my business really started to form. I didn't know it was going to be a business then. But at that moment was for me. And I had really discovered this magical thing called color analysis, which, you know, you basically, you know, if anybody listening doesn't know what that is, it basically means you find colors that flatter you and make you feel good. And I was just completely sucked in because I'm a fine artist. Hadn't been for a very long time. We can talk about that for sure. But, you know, I went to art school. I love color. This was just my jam. And I didn't really realize why it was so resonating for me, but I knew that it had a power to give me that confidence that I really needed to kind of just move forward. So I started feeling better about myself. And I realized that this is like, there are other people like me who could use this kind of support and this kind of fun way really of expressing yourself. And so my business started. Now, it wasn't called Your Color Style when I first created my business. It was actually a really horrible name. It was called Outfit Ideas For You. And I'm so embarrassed to say it out loud because it's so bad. It was such just a bad...
Just for everybody to know this, she did this on her own. I never asked the name of the business. So.
I like to share it, I think, because sometimes people have the impression of businesses that are now established and, you know, doing their thing, that it's always like that. It was always like that. And the reality is that no, even my business, it has evolved over time and with its identity and its, you know, its own.
Definitely. And it's never overnight.
Right. Never. Exactly. So it evolved. Right. And so, but today I get to help women, and I've attracted a lot of women that are going through very similar changes in their life. Now, sometimes it's positive changes. It doesn't have to be sad. It doesn't mean you have to have a loss. Sometimes it's just your definition of you has ended at one point, and now you're moving on to something else. And one of the natural things we want to do is help ourselves feel better to kind of get excited about that next phase.
What I get from you is that there's this transition that we have from a painful moment to a good moment, or from one good moment to another one, or stages of life. And in that transition, usually is a bit turbulent, and people can get easily irritated, or there's some frustration of some sort. And in that moment, when that frustration or irritation can kick in, the self-image can start to decline.
Yeah. I think because we finished our definition of whoever we were at that point. And now we kind of feel lost, right? So if you were always defining yourself as a wife, right? And now you're divorced, wife or husband, right? And now you're divorced. Okay, well, that definition is complete now. now you don't know how to be that next person. And and you feel a little lost. You feel a little bit out of sorts and like, I don't know how to be this person, you know? And it takes a little bit to kind of settle and to figure out what's next for you. If you see it as an opportunity, it can be very exciting. But I think for many people, it can be extremely uncomfortable. You've known one way of looking at yourself and defining yourself for so long. And now you're this other person and you just don't know how to be that person yet, you know? And so I think it's very comforting to know it's okay to feel that way. And it's normal to be out of sorts for a bit and that you're going to settle and you're going to find your way versus starting to think something's wrong with you, you know?
Going
negative, which is really easy to do.
What struck me right now is that basically, I love that thing. Like that definition of you is completed and you need to move to the next stage. Beautiful. And what I realize is that when context changes, your definition of yourself starts to change. And we can get so used to who we are that when the context changes, like, whoa, what happened? What do I do now? And people kind of freak out sometimes and get like panic. And then they go for the safe thing, isn't it?
Yeah, go for the safe thing, which means you could be repeating patterns that aren't serving you well, right? You get out of one relationship that's so uncomfortable. Instead of just being with yourself for a bit to kind of settle, a lot of people jump into the next relationship because it's comfortable for them. And you know, depending on what kind of relationship they had before, could have been a good one, could have not been. They're likely going to go right back into another cycle and get themselves into the same place. And so a lot of habits and patterns can repeat themselves very easily if we don't give ourselves a chance to just be in that space for a little bit, you know, and to know that it's okay to not know what to do next. Like, we don't always know what to do next. And I think that's perfectly okay. I mean, it's really why a lot of people find life coaches like you, because it's because they need a little bit of support to get them into like, what do I do next? Or what do I want to actually do now that I have this open space, right?
Come on, John, you gotta know this. Like, How come you say you don't know what's coming next? Like, you're an artist. Don't you have like crystal ball or something?
Even in art is a great metaphor. You know, you can sit down, I could have an idea of a piece that I want to create. So we'll just say that I want to create okay, you see my art. It's ridiculous. Well, look, we'll talk about the giraffe because since we both like the giraffe so much. Let's just say that in my head, I have this really cute idea of a giraffe and, oh, it's going to be so cute. It's going to have a little character on its head and it's going to, you know, have a funny little scarf around it, which is what actually ended up it being. However, it looks absolutely nothing like what was in my head. In my head, a giraffe had legs. It doesn't have legs. Cause it didn't fit. Like the neck was really long and the giraffe was going to be different colors. She was going to have spots and like doodles all over her. It was going to be much more whimsical than she turned out to be. I say she, cause her name's Megan. But my point is this, is that what was in my head and what I thought for sure, you don't have control once you start. The watercolor is going to spread away. You didn't expect, right? The lines you drew, those are kind of the lines you're going to have to go with at some point. And whatever it ends up being, it is never going to be what you thought it was going to be. And I think it's a perfect metaphor for life, right? You can have the perfect idea in your head of what you want to do and you can start taking steps towards it, but be convinced and believe that it's going to be exactly what you thought it was going to be is going to lead you to disappointment and frustration. And I think a lot of people do that. They have this expectation that, well, I did everything right, but it didn't turn out that way. And that's life. That's the way it's supposed to work. Because the reality is that if you are doing the actions and you are working towards a vision, that vision may not be exactly what was in your head, but it's going to likely be something very similar or even better. and to be open to those possibilities, because often I'll start even like with art and sometimes it works out and it finishes and I don't like it, but then I'll do it again or I'll do something different and it turns out better than I expected, you know? And I think that we can't just be so black and white with what we expect. We just need to be okay with the process and really enjoy that process, because the end result's never going to be what you want it to be.
That's such a great metaphor. Such a great metaphor. I love it. And by the way, for everybody that's listening to this podcast, you got to go and check her Instagram, because Megan, that giraffe with a little character that's a mouse on her head, is the cutest image I've seen in years. You got to check her profile. It's amazing. Can you say your Instagram handle?
Yeah, it's actually not Jen Vax. It's Jen Thoden. It's J-E-N-T-H-O-D-E-N, because that's what my name was before I changed it just recently to Jen Vax. So it's under Jen Thoden.
Yeah. That's great. So go to Jen Thoden on Instagram and check her artwork. It's hilariously amazing. I love it. And giraffes, I have a special relationship with giraffes, because as I shared with you, the giraffes are the animals, the mammals that have the biggest heart in the whole planetary ecosystem. And they are like the exponent of empathy. So I think the world should be more about giraffes than jackals. Therefore, that image like literally made my day when I saw it. Amazing.
I love giraffes and so much. Like, there's a whole bunch of reasons why, but yeah, it's one of my favorites too. I have several on that feed. It's just they're down further and ridiculous.
So let's not spoil this. People, go check her Instagram. It's going to be worth your while. Trust me. And about this metaphor,
yeah,
the reason why I find this great, this is such a great expression of how our minds work. Because when you as an artist, you have this idea in your mind that you want to create and transpose on a piece of paper or on a canvas or on your computer, is so complete and it makes so much sense in your head. Mm-hmm. And then you have that paper in front of you that has limits. It has a size. It has a specific texture. Then you have the colors, which are, in theory, infinite, because you can you can mix them, combine them a lot. But then there is accuracy and time, which you don't have a lot as human being. Time passes by. You cannot stay 100 years just mixing the color to make a painting. That's just not the way it works. And in the end, the end result, it might be something like a masterpiece, but it has nothing to do or very little to do with the initial image that you had in your mind.
Right.
And when this is happening, actually, it led to me, when I heard you, it led to me to the fact that this is how we do with communication in general, not only painting or drawing. When you're in a relationship and you want to communicate your idea across, you have something in mind that is so concrete and fits so well in the conversation. And then you open up your mouth and it's like, what the hell happened?
Right?
You know? Yeah.
Because the truth is that there's very little we can control. Mm-hmm. And what we can control is what we can control, what we do to a point, right? But we cannot control what impact we're going to have going outward. And so, in a conversation, there is no way you could possibly predict what that person is going to say, feel, react to something you said. You can't make them happy. You can't make them sad. You can't even pull them into the conversation if they're not in the mood to have the conversation. And so I love that. Like I have this great thing. I can't wait to share. But that other person is another person who has their own stuff going on and their own stories and may not connect with you at all at that moment. And I feel like,
why not? Don't they have Wi-Fi?
Right?
Yeah, like you're supposed to have Bluetooth and connect with my mind and read my mind.
Not everything's a podcast, Christian. Not everything's a podcast, okay?
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
But yeah, right,
ask you something. Mm-hmm. I want to ask you something because I think we have a lot of things in our lives. We have, as you said, you had to take care of your kid that was sick. You had to take care of the other two kids. You had to take care of your business, and you were also married, and you had to take care of your partner at that time, who took care of you. And you kind of forgot about yourself probably in the process.
Very much.
And when that happens, we both know that is, things start to be a little bit risky in many, many aspects of life. So when things are risky, a lot of people go and play safe.
Yes.
How can a person know that easily? How can they easily identify, like, am I playing safe? How can I get the answer to that?
Oh my gosh. You know, how do they know if they're playing safe? I think that if you're playing safe, and by the way, we're using that word in an interesting way because we're implying that that person would like to be able to be doing something else or something different or some in addition to what their life is right now. And so playing safe, my definition of that would be that I'm not really doing what I really want to do because there's just, I have too many barriers that are in my way. Like a lot. And I'll translate that into excuses, right? I can't do that right now. You know, I've got three kids, you know, I can't do that right now because I got to do these 18 errands or I've got to go to work and, you know, all the things that keep us busy and keep us in where we are at the moment. But I think that if the red flags were to go off to say, I'm playing it safe, that there's nothing wrong with it, but it seems like your soul would be missing something. And I feel like you might be feeling bored, unsatisfied, maybe frustrated because you might even see like one of your friends doing something that you really, really wanted to do, but you just don't have the confidence, the courage to do it too. And so you come up with 100 reasons why you shouldn't. And I think that's another indicator of playing it safe. It's like, you know, deep down, maybe you don't want to voice it. I really want to do that thing, that one thing, but it seems so silly. I'll do it later. You know, like even just going for a walk and being with nature, like sometimes people even put that off. Like, oh, it's, you know, it's too hot. It's too cold. I'll do that tomorrow time. I don't have time for that right now. Or I could go, but it'll only be for 10 minutes. So it's just not worth it. And I think all those stories we tell ourselves that keep us in this bubble, this air quote safe place isn't service. It smothers us and you start to feel that dissatisfaction and then an unhappiness and really lack of joy. Because you could have happy moments, but you don't feel fulfilled. You don't feel like this is good. This is my life. I like what I'm doing on a daily or weekly basis or whatever it is. You just don't have that outlet. And I really think that parts of us start to die if we don't start to take care of ourselves, you know? Mm. And
that is so profound.
Yeah. I feel like, and here's the thing. I don't think that everyone knows that. I don't think that everyone necessarily wakes up and realizes that there's more because their bubble can be so safe and so protective that they may feel like, what else could I possibly need? Maybe they even feel guilty about it, right? Like, well, everything's so good in my life. I really shouldn't want more.
Well, ouch.
Right?
Yeah. That can be really, really a very, very fragile place to be in.
It is. Wow. That's settling. I've settled.
Yeah. It's like, I settled. I don't need anything more. What if I want more, I'm going to compromise what I have right now.
Right.
And that's scarcity kind of mindset. Like I need to protect this little thing and I'm going to protect this little thing with the cost of everything else.
Yes. Yes.
You are the color person. So when it comes to colors, I think you have a lot to say. How can colors be also a sign of I'm playing it safe in my life?
That's a really good question, Christian. What I've noticed, and even for myself, it's not just, oh, it's everybody else, you know, even for me, But what I've noticed is when women come to my business to learn what, like, they get excited, right? They're going to learn their colors and that kind of a thing. And one of the things I hear often is that they're tired of wearing black. And we all love wearing black. Black can be very chic, very sophisticated. People think that I don't believe in wearing black. And by the way, I wear black all the time. I should just say that for the record. Color person, I know. I also wear black because I really like it. But the difference is that I don't wear it from default.
You're listening.
So
to
what
the
I've noticed is that even when I've
enjoyed this content,
we've helped the client find their color palette, and they're super excited. Thank they have you. This color fan, and they have all these colors they can choose from, and they can go and they can shop, and it's really, really exciting. And then they won't. They just won't. And they'll stay in their default black or gray or whatever, and they just simply won't wear a color. And it seems like such a little thing, like, oh, well, what's the big deal? It's just a color. But I really do think that it is reflective of what's happening inside, in your head and in your heart. If you don't feel like, if you're not able to express yourself just by simply wearing a color that you really actually love, because you're so afraid of what other people might say, what if I don't look as good as they said that I would, you know, I will stand out. A lot of times people are so used to blending in, right? Playing it safe, that wearing anything different can put them in such an uncomfortable place that they won't yeah. do that. And it's really, it breaks my heart a little bit when I see people who I know they wouldn't have been going through the whole process of finding out their color. So they didn't really want to let some of that creative soul out, right? Like to let some of that shine. And so it takes a little bit of coaching because they're so used to being in that default place for so long that wearing anything different.
So what you're saying is that when we choose the colors and we play safe, like I know these three mm-hmm. nuances of beige are something that serve me. I might be in a place of insecurity.
All right. Okay. So
and I'm going to get outrageous here. So I'm going to have a navy blue and some gray with it.
Ooh.
Savage.
All right. So, okay, I'm gonna tease you because, all right, so here's the thing. I don't think that it has to do with the color. And what I mean by that is that a person can be feeling insecure and they still wear color. It doesn't have to necessarily be just about that, although it's a really obvious sign. Like when you don't wear any color and you won't, even though you really want to, that's a really good sign that you're, you know, you're suffering some insecurity, right? Some confidence issues. However, I also think that it has a lot to do with just really letting go and wearing whatever you want. So let's just say that I always have color, but they're all solid. I secretly really want to wear those flowered printed jeans that I saw or something, you know, but I won't because it's, everyone will notice,
too
everyone
much.
Will see it's too much, yeah. Right? That's a great word. It's just too much. I also have had people come to me that have told me that they wanted to learn how to wear their colors so that they didn't overpower their friends. And they would tell me that they have a very loud personality and they're out there and they wanted to learn how to dress so that they wouldn't be. And so as that was my point, it's like, sometimes we can just be insecure with just really just being okay with expressing who we are. And wow. Yeah, I mean, read the room, obviously. Right. I mean, you're not going to go and wear a hot pink dress to a funeral. I mean, obviously read the room. Sometimes it's appropriate to fit in, right. And blend in. But in general though, when we're talking about friends, you should be able to express yourself in any way you want. if they're people that are accepting of who you truly are. And that's where I think things get a little bit uncomfortable and sensitive, right? Because we rely on our social circle to define us and to hopefully raise us up and to let us be okay with who we are. But I think often what happens is that we find and attract people that keep us down and we don't even know that they're doing it. But right? Like we don't really realize it because we get so many other things from them that we don't necessarily realize that I'm not really being exactly who I want to be right now. And the very fact that a person feels like they should have to quiet themselves, that's a shame. You shouldn't have to feel that way. You should be able to wear whatever you want and your friends should accept you just as you are. And if they can't, then they're not the right people to support you.
Yeah. And for the not so few people that actually know that their circle of friends define them.
Right.
I think, and I believe that they know, but they still don't want to go out and explore. And
yeah,
we're talking about dressing up here, but
yeah,
we can definitely extend this to the color you want your furniture to be in your house,
100%.
To the type of car you drive, or to whatever you're dreaming of, but you're still not going to do it.
Right.
And choose not to do it because you don't want to have that conversation with yourself first. Like, do I actually want to blend in this group?
Right.
Because nobody likes losing friends. Nobody likes being alone.
Right.
And even if we know it, it's manageable. But is it manageable not to express ourselves and lose our friends?
Right. And that hits the head on why a lot of people stay exactly where they are. And don't get me wrong, this conversation isn't about people suddenly, divorcing their friends. Like, please don't do that. You know, it's really more about, and we are talking about dressing, but really, like you said, it's really, I see it more as a self-expression, and it is really being comfortable with yourself. And I'll give you a perfect example. So when I decided that I was going to divorce my husband, I did not really talk about it with anyone. I kept it to myself. I suffered silently for a really long time. And then I decided to make the decision that this was the right thing for me to do. So when I announced it, I was really afraid that I was going to be judged and that I was going to lose friends and that my mother was going to disapprove. And and so all these things actually kept me from making this decision because I was so consumed with all the stories that I've been told, which is, you know, the stories of, well, you made a vow, you made a commitment, and what kind of person are you going to be when you decide that you're going to leave? And what kind of a, you know, quitter you are? I mean, all the stories, I mean, man, it just bubbled up and bubbled over. And so it took a profound amount of courage to step out and actually do this and not have any support. And so when I told my friends about it, this is where it gets really fragile because these are people that I thought, not all of them, there's a few in my head that I think about when I think about this time in my life, because they were the people that we hung out with all the time. And I trust, and clearly I didn't trust them because I never told them. And so when I finally told them that, you know, I'm leaving, we're separating. Instead of saying things like, well, how can we help you? How can we support you? You know, I'm so sorry it's happening or whatever. It was more of, are you sure it's not the 40 factor? Are you sure that's not what's going on right now? I mean, what are you going to do on your own? Do you really want to be on your own? And I know that comes from a place of them wanting to keep me safe and out of love. I know that it wasn't, they were trying to make me feel bad, but it is those kinds of words and phrases that really make you second guess what it is that you're doing. I could have easily listened to all that, right? And not done it. And maybe even more unhappy. I don't know. You know, like, I'm not going to like rewrite history, but those are the kind of statements that you have to either ignore. You have to do what's right for you. And I think it gets really, really hard for a lot of people because their support system is so strong and it is so important to them that if you're going to have your friends tell you that you're doing something wrong, well, maybe you are. And that's a really
scary.
Yeah, I think so. It is.
That's scary.
How do you move forward? And I mean, that's a really light topic, right? I'm sure this can get real deep and real dark real quick with other examples, not for maybe from me, my personal life, but from other people with that same sort of network around them that keeps them down, keeps them mm-hmm. there, keeps them in this place when you really know that you need to be out there doing something different. And so I guess it's just one of those things that, you know, if you've never thought about it before, like wake up and just listen. Just pay attention to what people are actually saying to you. And are they really serving you? Are they really lifting you up and making you better? Are they trying to keep you safe and trying to keep you in one place? And I think just awareness alone is a huge thing, right? You know, it's again, you don't have to divorce your friend. You don't have to, but you just, I think you just need to be aware, like mm-hmm. pay attention to like what kind of influences are happening around you. And then work on finding other people that are wanting to lift you up. Right.
Upgrade your network, of course.
I know, exactly. Upgrade your network. And it takes a while.
It takes.
I have upgraded mine, but it took a while. It doesn't just, you don't just go out and find new friends, right?
And it's probably going to be not very comfortable. But once you do it, it's worth the while.
Well, then
it's
you worth start the to, effort. Yeah, because then you start to realize, oh, this is what it feels like. I can actually laugh like super loud and no one's trying to quiet me, you know, like for my art, for example, you know, I didn't really start drawing again until the beginning of last year, right. With COVID and being bored at home and stuff. And, if in my book, I talk a lot about being suppressed as far as wanting to do more and not really feeling like I can or should and being kind of pushed down. And this time around with my husband, Joe, he's like, I love it when you're doing this. This is so great. And he goes, why wouldn't I want you to be happy? And he's the one that has me, you know, posting on Instagram. And it's this level of support and this leveling up, right. Of, you love this. Well, then let me support you. Then let me help you with that happiness and that joy.
What a shift in perspective.
Yeah. And I, wow. And I don't, and I honestly, I still fought it a little bit and that because I'm so not used to that. I'm so used to mostly my stories, right. But they come from somewhere and they come from growing up and it's the, well, it's just art. It's just drawing. It's not important. It's not, right. It's not that big of a deal, but the
reality is constantly walk on eggshells and be careful what you express and what you're not.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Don't be too much. Don't be too mm-hmm. good. Right. That's my story. I have a lot of that.
I have a saying about this. Nobody in this world can drag you down from above.
Mm. I love that.
So you gotta pay attention to who's speaking with you mm-hmm. and how. And if they're dragging you down, probably they do it because you're in a higher place than they are.
Yeah.
That's the simple fact. So look at them with from a place of compassion, understand where they are and let them go or lift them up if you want, but mm-hmm. you don't have to go back down there just to make them happy.
Yeah, exactly. Just to make them happy. That's and the best sentence.
Yeah. Yeah, Marshall Rosenberg in Nonviolent Communication calls that emotional slavery.
Mm.
And you don't want to be an emotional slave.
Mm.
You want to be emotionally free and independent, actually interdependent, where you can have those relationships. You're not isolated, but you're not also the slave of other people when it comes to emotions. It's so important. So in that context, I want to move forward with this and ask you, what about a workplace? What about expressing ourselves in an office space or even in a Zoom meeting, because that's all we have today, but
you know,
we're going to see people face to face again.
Yeah. And so when I use the phrase express yourself, What I mean when I say that is that you are being who you truly are and not trying to be something else or something different. And you, the thing is that if you really are being true to yourself, to your true nature, you're going to be someone that is more relaxed and more comfortable. You're not going to be the person that's getting angry in a meeting or talking over people to get attention, right? Or to get your voice out. You're going to be comfortable in your space. And I think that you would be a better team player and an employee if you could get to that place. And that is not an easy place to get to. Like it's a long journey for a lot of people to even understand what that means, to identify with who you really are. But I do have a good example of it, a story to go with that, is that when I was working full-time, I worked for a company I was a user experience designer for children's education, and very creative. So I'm always in the creative thing. And I liked that job. I had no problem with that job. And I was good there. Well, anyways, I was recruited. They put a larger check up in front of me and showed me this really cool office, and you can do all these things and you can be all these things and you should come work for us. And so I did. I left and I went and worked for them. And it lasted all about 6 months because some of the things that I took for granted from my previous employer were things that I didn't even know I was taking for granted. And one of them, and this is where I realized, oh my goodness, this is so important, is I could not be myself at this new company. I didn't know how to be, because when I try to kind of be just me, because I'm pretty open book, right? I would just get constantly reprimanded and corrected. And I started to become like this like lost puppy of like, I actually don't know. They want me to be a certain way, but I don't know how to be that way. And it was exhausting and it was crushing me. I have never been so happy in my life. And it has nothing to do with the work, and had everything to do with just how I was interrelating with everybody else. And so I remember coming home and I said to Joe, I'm like, I have to quit. I have to quit. He's like, well, can you get another job? and so I actually went back to the previous, they were happy to take me back. And it's a really beautiful and great place when you can just be yourself. And for me, what that means for me is that I can be a little silly. I can crack an appropriate joke, right? I can laugh, and one of the things that's part of me is how I interrelate with my team and support them, resolve conflict. And I learned over time that some of the things that I really enjoy doing that are really true to my nature, you could easily pull that into your any job role, right? Mm-hmm. And be you in that role, even if it's not the right job. Like, not everybody's in the right job. They need to go find another job eventually that fits them better, but you can still be you in that. And, so if you are really creative, but you feel like you're not in a creative job, well, I bet you there's ways for you to be more creative. Like maybe it's how you pull your presentations together. Maybe it's how you problem solve, and there's ways for you to pull yourself into your environment. But I don't think it has to be where all of a sudden you're this completely different personality. I think that it takes time to really kind of get to that space where you can.
So it's kind of like a journey,
right?
To get there.
Yeah, it's work, not like sweat work, right? But it's still like being aware, understanding, understanding people, understanding why am I doing this, and
yeah.
Why is that person always fighting?
That can be quite a challenge, like understanding why I'm doing this, because sometimes we just have this inner force that's like, I want to do that. Like, why? I don't know.
Well, that person makes me so angry. Oh my God, I just want to, emotions fly, we're human.
Yeah. What about colors in the workspace? Because maybe I'm a very colorful personality and I want to express myself.
Yeah.
But I work in an environment where that's not really possible. Let's say, for a shout out to all our finance friends.
Yeah.
What can I do? How can I express myself? Let's say people come to you, like, help me pick my collar and my palette.
Yeah.
So I can express myself and so I can really feel confident, and I want my clothes and my house and my car and my belongings to actually boost my confidence rather than restrict me, especially in a work setting where it's really demanding and there's a lot of stress and there's a lot of high expectations. What can I do as a human being where there's not so much room for colors? What can I do to have something that expresses me and puts me there as who I am?
Yeah. So, and I get that, because like my very best friend since childhood, she is in a high-end corporate environment, and you know, like, and so you don't just go show up in, I always use the word hot pink, but like hot pink flower, you know, flower dress. You just don't. That's not what you do. You have to fit in, right? And so I totally get that. I do think that there's still room for you to, if you know, if you really are a colorful personality, right, and you really just, you just feel so good when you wear a bright color, I do think you can do that. And you have to just sort of be okay with that your work environment and the culture of that environment is what it is. You've accepted that when you decided to work there. So there's a reason that you like working there, and it's perfectly fine. But then there's also, there is a little bit of the blend in, right? But it doesn't mean that you can't be slightly different and to express yourself. So there are ways to do it. So let's say that you feel so good when you wear, let's go really, well, it's bright yellow. We'll just take that. Like, that's a color that's really hard not to.
I love that one.
Yeah. Right. But I mean, you can do this in pops. So like, okay, maybe wearing a bright yellow dress to a place that's wearing navy suits all day is not going to fly. Right. Because it's just like, oh, well, that's just a lot. And you're just not comfortable doing that. And I would totally understand that. I would bet also you probably could, but let's not go there. Let's say you just can't. But I do think that if you wore like a navy dress and bright yellow heels or a blazer, that you could just kind of take on and off and just have that pop, or just a bag that's a bright color. I think for men, the same thing. You could always wear something that's a little bit more fun, like a tie or something like that. Or honestly, one of them, I love like really fun socks. like you can feel really, really fun just wearing some ridiculous socks. And by the way, this is a true thing, because I have seen so many men, like if you ask them, like, you know, let's see your socks, they're usually like patterns and colors, because they're like, it's like the safe thing to do. It's like, you know, it's fun for them.
Yeah.
But I did. So I do think you can pull stuff in. It just might be that it's just little bursts, little pops. It's not the whole thing. You're not the whole rainbow. You're just a little bit of extra, you know, something that makes you feel really good. Like one piece that makes you feel really good, that it's not going to be so over the top that you're feeling like a clown in a sea of suits, you know? So
that's amazing. And I think it's so refreshing to know that you can express your personality through a tiny little thing, and you can transmit that message and act accordingly. And you know, you have it. It's your reminder. It's like your anchor.
Yeah.
Even in a place where you have to blend in.
I also think that especially for women that are in an environment like that, like a suit type of environment, you know, wearing a suit is a very masculine Indeed. Masculine energy, right? It's, you know, and, you know, I don't want to say, oh, it's a man's world, because that's not necessarily true. But even so, the very fact that we have suits in a corporate environment is because it came from
masculine,
that man's world.
Not necessarily
world.
Men.
And I do, you know, and some women really struggle with that because they're very feminine and they want, but they're afraid to be feminine because they need to be seen more masculine, right? And so they wear their suits as well, which I think is perfectly okay. I would never tell someone that they shouldn't do that. What I always recommend for them is that they can still wear a blouse, for example, in a color that is feminine. And even though it's outlined in the structures of the suit and the pencil skirt or the pants, so whatever that you're wearing, you can still wear, you know, a blushy, blushy pink blouse, for example, that's softer and lets you feel more feminine, even though you're kind of in this more suit, if you will, you know. And people don't look at you less for that. They just, it's who you are.
Actually, I think it's the other way around.
Is it?
Yeah, I think it's actually the other way around. When you have something to say through the way you dress up, mm-hmm. people respect you more. And mm-hmm. even though it can be a very narrow mindset kind of environment, someone will pick that up and say, I wish I had the guts to do that.
Yes. Thanks for bringing that up. It's so true. It's so true. It is so true, you know, especially like when you look in a casual environment where most people wear jeans, right? It's really mm-hmm. easy just to fit in. It's the exact same thing. You fit in, you wear jeans and sweaters or tops or whatever, you know, like everybody else is doing. And then you'll have that one person that shows up in a dress or And at first you're like, you know, you can be judgy if you really want to. There's one woman in particular that I think of all the time because she'd always wear a dress, not like crazy dresses, just dressed up. And she wore these really great shoes and she wasn't necessarily an executive or anything like that. And I remember even saying, like, I love your dresses. And she's like, yeah, you know, it just makes me feel really good. And then I started to do that. I was like, she's really inspiring me. It's like when you show up and you act like it's normal, then it's normal. You know, it's like, it's when you show up and you're like, this is really great. I don't know if I should do this. That's when people are going to be looking and going, that's not going to work.
That's true. And by the way, you told us about women and we men have the same kind of issues.
I would totally.
But we address these issues in a very different way, and we spend probably less time thinking about it, but we have the same type of insecurities.
Yes.
And for example, I love fuzzy, hilarious socks.
Okay.
And I'm not like the guy when it comes to crazy socks, but I have some, right?
See? Told you.
And I see men that are like, and I know their sock game is like 10 levels up than I am.
Sock game.
Yeah. And there are people around me that see me wearing some kind of weird colors in stripes with socks. Like it's something you notice that, you know? And they're like, dude, how are you okay to wear that? It's like, dude, I just don't care what anybody's thinking about that.
Right.
And they're like, oh yeah, you're one of those guys. That's what comes out.
You know,
but on the inside,
it's
something very different.
You know, here's the reality, right? This is the truth. All the things that we fear to wear, from crazy socks to a graphic t-shirt to a bright yellow dress or whatever, a fun tie or whatever. The reality is this: we're so worried about what other people think and fitting in that the truth is that so everybody else is worried about the same exact thing. And they are not focused on you nearly as much as you think they are. So if you're going to wear a bright yellow sweater to work or to wherever you're going to go that day, and you think, oh my God, people are going to stare, I promise you they're not. They're not going to stare because they're all wrapped up in their own insecurities, worrying about if their jeans are too tight or that these shoes are going to work for the rest of the day, or, you know, does this tie go with this belt or whatever it is that they're worried about that day. Or they had an argument with their partner and they're stewing about that. And they're not looking at your sweater. They're not at all. And so if you knew that, if you knew walking out your door that whatever you put on, nobody cares, then that's when you're actually really truly dressing for yourself, which is really hard to do because we love compliments. We like it when people notice that we made an effort, right? But the truth is that if that's all the reason that you're wearing that and you don't get a compliment that day, how are you going to feel?
Ooh, that's a punch in the stomach.
It's true.
Yeah.
Right? Like, what if you put yourself together and you look amazing? Like, wow, I look good. And then you go to work or wherever and you're really expecting a compliment, but everyone's busy. Maybe something happened at work, right? Everyone's busy and their heads are down and nobody notices. How do you feel? And I mean, I'm not judging. I think I would probably feel like, man, I did all this and nobody noticed. But I think that's really telling of like, why did you do that? Did you do it because you just felt really good and you hoped one? Or did you do it because you really needed those compliments? And I feel like being aware of that doesn't mean that you're doing anything wrong. It doesn't mean you're any less of a person. It just kind of highlights why we do what we do, right? Why, you know, why we wear those things. And also, unfortunately, to highlight that people aren't paying attention as much as we think they are.
That's true.
Times, right? So
that's true. Jen, for the people that right now and during our conversation already pictured their whole wardrobe and they figured out like, holy shit.
I'm doing it all
right. I think I have a very limited choice when it comes to my wardrobe. And my color is the same color with my wardrobe and my furniture in my house is the same. I might want to explore something else. How can people do that? Will your book help, for example?
The book will give you, so the book tells my story and it does give you some inspiration on some colors that you can play with. So it's a really easy read, but what the book does give you is a link to a free course that is called Discover Your 5 Signature Colors. So you don't really need a color analysis just to kind of start to explore some colors that really are expressive of you. And that's why I call them signature colors, because they're really more about what's natural within you. And there's 5 of those, and it's like a little video-based course. So they could do that. That's a really easy thing to do, is to get the book and get the free link. I always tell people also another great thing is to go through the quiz. The quiz on the site at yourcolorstyle.com it's free. It's quite robust in its information. There's a lot of photos and videos, and it really walks you through to hopefully help you and to keep it so that your investment's minimum. And that's a really great way just to understand the concept in general. You know, you may not necessarily come out the end knowing exactly what your colors are, but you'll understand your color style and then you'll know what to do next with that once you're in there. So the quiz is always a great place to start too.
That's amazing. Yeah. Perfect. And for the ones that maybe have questions, how can people get in touch with you?
The best way to send questions to me is through our support system. So support@yourcolorstyle.com. If the tickets are for me, my support team will make sure I get them.
That's great. Yeah. That's great. And there's this one last question that I have that I ask every guest on my podcast. Imagine for a second, I love saying this is when I hear your story, you've been tried and tested. So you went through a lot in this life and you gained a lot of perspective. You built your character. You gained so many skills and you are who you are today because of everything that happened to you and for you. So imagine for a second, you're going to lose all of that. But you get to keep one trait, one quality, one thing. What would that be?
One trait or quality, one thing. Man, I wish I would do my homework and heard what other people say. Okay, well, God, this is really hard. I think my sense of humor, my ability to not take things so seriously and to be able to laugh at when things are just not great. You know, I think that I would hold on to that and be able to laugh, because when you laugh and you're able to laugh, it is a way to lighten things up and to release stress and to connect with yourself in ways. So I say my sense of humor. You thought I was going to say my creativity, huh?
Well, I don't see how you can have a sense of humor without creativity. So
right.
There you are.
I'm just saying, it's all interconnected. So I don't know how you give one. That's a hard question to ask. I'd love to know what the people say.
Mm. Yeah, I've got so many brilliant answers to this question. So many. And in the other episodes, there are like all the other guests brought something that is so unique. And my secret agenda here that nobody knows about, and please don't share this with anybody, is to have like a collection of this one thing that I want to pick up and make like a huge toolbox.
Oh, I love it. I love that so much. That's fun.
So yeah, that's my hidden agenda here.
Love it.
Jen Vax, thank you so much for being here and for sharing everything that I asked. You have literally did not limit yourself to anything, and I honor that, and I thank you for opening yourself as a human being, and you share your wisdom, your experience, your life with everybody. I cannot thank you enough for that.
I am very grateful to be here, so and thank you as well. I'm really, really happy to share and to chat with you today.
Sometimes you just gotta be aware of the insecurities that you have in order to conquer them. Because when you take this adventure and you conquer your insecurities, you conquer the frustrations and the limitations that come with living at the expectations of other people, the expectations of the environment. Be that in your office, in your work environment, or even at home, or with your friends. What are the things that you always wanted to express, but for some reason, you just kept them secret? Probably because you didn't want to be judged, or probably because you didn't have the confidence or even the confirmation that you needed to take them out and present yourself to the world like that. And to take this even further, what are the questions that you never asked, but you always wanted to? What if you could express yourself? What if you could take those little actions that enable you to gain more out of this experience called life? What if you could take more when you expose yourself a little bit more? And I'm encouraging you, and if you're listening to this episode, I'm highly encouraging you to just open yourself up a bit and let yourself be visible and allow other people to see you for who you really are, to see your good parts and your bad parts, to see everything that makes you human, because that's what it takes for people to get in touch with you, to connect with you, to resonate with you, and to support you. And that's how you create friendships. That's how you thrive in your workspace. That's how you make your relationships great, how you create great friendships and fulfilling relationships in life. Just think about it. What are the unexpressed things that would enable a lot of other people to know you for who you are, for the great person that you are? Because beyond that little bit of doubt, beyond that insecurity, there's greatness in you. And you gotta let that thing out. You gotta let the people of this world see you for who you are, because you're so much more than you let people to see. And there's so much anxiety and so much depression and unrest because people don't see us for who we really are. Therefore, take a leap of faith.
You have listened to the Anatomy of Conflict podcast. My name is Cristian Moldovan. I'm your host, and I'm looking forward to see you on the next episode. Thank you.